You are tuned to KAXE, KBXE, Northern Community Radio. We are an independent, nonprofit public broadcast organization, and we're committed to building community in northern Minnesota. We are visiting Crosby, Minnesota today. Crosby was once a mining town and is now a recreation destination. In this next segment, I speak with a woman who was a big part of that change. So I'm talking with Barb Grove. She's also known as Mama Cuyuna to some, and she's someone who has been a lover of the Crosby area since the mines closed down. And I heard that I needed to talk to her because she was somebody who was not going to let Crosby go down without a fight. So good morning, Barb.
Good morning to you. My goodness, somebody's talking to you.
So tell me about your love of the Crosby area and how you've been a part of this sort of, I guess we call it a repurposing of the community.
The gigantic repurposing and all for the good.
Yeah.
It's incredible. No, I've been a part of this area. My goodness, we were coming up here when I was 16 years old. And then, and at that time, they were still mining, so I could watch all of these, all this equipment, you know, hundreds of feet down in the Portsmouth mine. And then we bought some property after I was married. We bought some property up north, north of here, about 20 miles. And in about 76, I came on up. Up to the house here and decided to move in up here and get a job. So I was director of Cuyuna Range Economic Development until about the mid-90s. So my job was to bring jobs into the community when the mines closed and when Scorpion was sold. And that's what I set out to do. So you get very committed to a community. And when I say community, I mean the whole Cuyuna Range. And you get very committed to it, and you get to know, you know, what the currents are and what the needs are in the community.
What kinds of jobs in those beginning years after the mines closed down, what were some of the jobs that were attractive to people to come to the area?
Well, at first it wasn't so much attracting people to come to the area. It was more allowing people to stay in the area that wanted to stay here.
Okay.
Because when something as big as mining closes, there's no jobs, and communities are very poor, people are very poor, and they're just into survival mode. So the best thing that you could do, in fact, the first thing I did when I took over the job was to ask a whole group of people in the community, what can I do? What's needed? And to the person, they said, we need jobs. We need to be able to stay here, and we need to be able to keep our kids here. That set my goal. And actually, in the years that I worked here as Cuyuna Range Economic Development, we brought in started about 600 brand new jobs. And some of those were people that were here. Perhaps they were engineers for the mining company or for Scorpion, or they had other kinds of businesses that they could transfer, and my job was to help them grow and get bigger. So we had a lot of good people that had a lot of engineering skills, and they started businesses in their garages, and ultimately were hiring people and moving into manufacturing. And that was where about half the jobs came from. The other half came when we worked very, very hard for about 5 years to bring a McMillan Bloedel wood product plant into the area. And these were almost all engineers. And so that's when people started coming into the community at that point. That would have been about 1990 to 95.
Mm-hmm. And since then, there's a kind of a whole another facet of the Crosby area with this, I guess I'm calling it recreational industry.
And that was where I kind of started. When I took over with Cuyuna Range Economic Development, there were a group of people, all men, and the IRRB would decide that they wanted to do small projects in our former mining area. So this group of men decided that they would put up a list of priorities for each year, and then IRRRB would choose one, perhaps, or maybe two. And they could be something like put in a boat ramp or fix a road. And then I showed up, and I said, you know, what do you think about thinking bigger, you know, thinking of the future, thinking of the whole thing, and envisioning. And they sat back and they said, oh, we can't do that. And we don't want to do that. And we won't do that. And as I've mentioned to others, I said, well, that's a start. And within 6 months, those guys were incredible. They picked up on that vision, and for years and years and years, they all worked so hard to make it a reality. And so there I was, an upstart, a newbie, a woman, you know. Nice. And but I was enough of an outsider that maybe I could see something that they weren't ready to see. But as soon as it was brought to them, then they went to work. They were incredible.
Interesting. I'm hearing it's all men. It was all men and you?
That's an interesting dynamic, and I don't know if it's true on the other ranges, but it was here when I came. One of the things I did long before the rec area was to go around and say, well, who are the leaders? Who are the leaders? And I thought, my board of directors was all men. Why is this happening? And because I knew there were women leaders, but even when I talked to the women, I said, who are the women leaders? And they'd say, oh, there aren't any. And I'm thinking, all of these scout leaders, all of these community and church leaders, and all of these businesses owned by both the husband and wife, and they don't see themselves as the leaders. And that's a dynamic that I think you could have found in quite a few places, that they didn't consider themselves leaders at that time. So things have changed.
When this repurposing was happening, did you feel, was there pushback from people who just really didn't want change? And how did you deal with that?
That's a given, no matter what the change is. If you're not part of the change or a decider on the change, and it's being done for you or to you, of course you're going to go into. And I think that's why it took about 15 years before we actually got our rec area. But we went through, first of all, we had to decide what we wanted. What did we want this to be? And we looked around, and all this time that I'm talking about now, the waters were rising because the pumps had been turned off, and plants and trees began to grow on the overburden from the mining. So all of this ignoring it and not developing anything and not having the money to really do anything with it allowed nature to take its course, which was absolutely fabulous. And that's what really helped. So the 30 years really between the time that mining closed and the time we got our rec area were a time that nature really had an opportunity. And all our job then was to protect it and not let it get developed at that time, just give it a chance. And so then we decided, where do we want our boundaries? And so many people said, make them small so that legislators will be okay with it and other people will be okay. And I said, no, 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 make it much, much bigger. And everybody can take their piece out of it and have their opinion, and we'll end up with exactly what we wanted in the first place. And they came around, and sure enough, the boundary turned out to be about 5,000 acres. And with many, many what we call lakes now, but at that time they were mine pit lakes, and the trees just kept growing. And we did many presentations. We did a lot of community work, got people involved, got them excited. And even though most people began to move along in the process with us, there were still an awful lot of people that said, oh, no, we're waiting for the mining to come back and that kind of thing. So So it's always a struggle, but they really did come around. And then we decided we had to go to the legislature. And every legislator that we would call, we'd say, this is what we're interested in. We want our mine pits to become a state park. And they said, no, we've funded too many of these and we're not happy with them. And of course, what they were visualizing was this barren, whole, overburdened, ugly environment. Meanwhile, our environment here was becoming paradise, absolute paradise, sparkling clear water, you know, beautiful trees, lots of berry bushes, and just we began to call it the BWCA of central Minnesota, the Boundary Waters. So it was a day trip from the Twin Cities to get that kind of a visual and experience. So then we decided we needed to get the legislators up here so they could actually see it. So we began a couple years of taking pontoons out and taking legislators out. And that was so successful. Every single one of them that we took out not only said they would vote for it, but they said they would have all of the others vote for it too. So that, and we kind of had the legislators trapped out there. You know, it was so much better than going to their office where you have 5 minutes to promote an idea. We had them right out there for hours and could show them the beauty and the sparkling waters and the forests and so on. So that really allowed us to move forward. And then Willard Munger came up, and he was head of the environment and committee for the legislature. And he stood on top of one of the overburdens, and he said, this must be a park. And he said, this is after years. And he said, you will get a lot of cooperation from my committee. And that's what made it happen. It's in the state park system, and that was interesting, too. We didn't want a lot of development because there's development everywhere in this area. And we wanted what we called silent sports to make our area, our 5,000 acres, unique. Because everybody's got boats and so on and everywhere. So we wanted silent sports, which meant diving and fishing and swimming and kayaking and now paddleboarding and then trails and walking trails and bike trails and so on. And so that's what we wanted it to be, is less developed and more the silent sport, a kind of a contemplative place, a place of serenity and beauty. And so the state decided that the best thing to do about that would be to make it a rec area within the state park system. And that meant that it was just less developed and didn't have to follow the same guidelines in the development that they did do. But it still had the rules and restrictions of a state park.
Right. I'm talking with Barb Grove. She lives in Crosby and was a big part of Crosby reestablishing itself as a recreational destination when the mining industry went away. It is so beautiful over there. I hadn't been to Crosby until a couple weeks ago, and I just fell in love with the community. The second I turned into town, I just thought, oh my gosh, it feels so great here. How have you seen it change the downtown area since all of this kind of repurposing has happened?
Well, what came in, you know, when the mining left and all, we had a lot of empty buildings. And of course, when that happens, then antique stores and collectible stores sort of take over. And in some communities, it means that they're going downhill, you know, they're becoming obsolete. So we kind of hung on there for a while because our major retail stores were heading over to Baxter and Brainerd, and we were struggling. And now our antique stores and our collectible stores are just part of the whole mosaic of people coming into the rec area and then having time out and visiting these stores. And now I've noticed in the last year that some of the antique stores have left or combined, and now we're getting retail stores, restaurants, really nice restaurants that don't just have cooks, they have chefs, and there's a difference. And we've got places like the Red Raven that is a combination cafe and bicycle repair shop. And we've got a Prairie Bay wonderful new restaurant and a local brewery we've got now. And we've got places for people to stay. People have opened up their houses for bikers. And we really have recognized the value, particularly when the International Mountain Bike Association decided to build in our area. They came in. They were looking for an international site for mountain biking. And this was just one of the sites that they looked at. But they chose our site, which was wonderful and amazing, because they have put millions of dollars into the development of the mountain bike venue, which helps all of the venues. You know, if you went around in it, you saw the rally area, and that's a wonderful area for anybody to go to. And it just opened up the whole thing to the world, really, when an international mountain bike venue comes into your community. And lucky me, I've been able to watch this happen from the very beginning and just blossom like a beautiful flower. So here I am. I'm right in the middle of town. It takes me 1 minute to get wherever I want to get, and I get to enjoy all of this. What you just talked about, this energy, this joy that's going on in the community, and the health of the economic. And we've had struggles along the way. We had a mining company that wanted to come back in. We had to, and we asked the communities to resolve to protect and preserve our rec area because we'd worked so hard for so long. And I had a fish farmer that wanted to come in. And this was when I was with CREDI, Cuyuna Range Economic Development. And he wanted to raise fish in these beautiful, pristine waters. And we said, no, no. So, you know, it's hard to turn someone down when they want to do economic development, but you have to set your priorities. And it's very obvious now that we've set them correctly. Outdoor Magazine, they rated places to visit now, the best places to visit now, and Crosby was the 26th best place to visit in the world now.
Thank God you had the vision to kind of just keep pushing your thought forward, even though there were many people who maybe weren't quite on that bandwagon in the beginning.
It took thousands of people, and they had to believe in what we were doing. I just kind of provided an opportunity to kind of change thinking from mining to something else. But they caught on and worked hard. We've drawn people into the community now that are so creative and have such good ideas. And there's, with all the high technology now, they can have their businesses right in their homes at the lake. You know, it's just a wonderful way to live and to raise your families. I have to giggle when I'm out in the rec area watching the bikers and so on and talking to them, that you'll have a long string. You'll have dad on his bike, and then mom is behind, and then the older kids, and right at the rear is this little pink bicycle with the little outfit on with the little girl with the pink helmet, you know, maybe 5 years old. And it's just a joy to see those kinds of people in our community. I mean, the mountain bikers are everything a community would want, really. Yeah. Where do we go from here? So what we're doing, we're really realizing how the community has benefited from the rec area and what's going on, but not as connected to it as we would like them to be. So we're working on a sustainability process where communities get more involved, and they can determine how they want that to be. They can decide what they want. But we need to keep this going, because so often economic things go down and up and down and up, and we just want to stay ahead of it, and we don't want to be reactionary. We want to be in front of it. So we've gotten the cooperation of mayors and people that actually can see a result. That's so positive to see the result and then move forward. And that's what our job is. And there'll always be threats to it, so we need to be just aware. And we want to keep it the best experience that anybody could have.
It's a role model community. There are so many communities where an industry will leave town, and then it's like, what are they going to do?
We'd be more than happy to just consult with them now and then to see what they can do. But their biggest job is going to be bringing the community around into that future-looking mindset. Rather, it's like, of course we can, rather than, I don't think we can, or we've never done it, you know, that kind of thing. So that's the biggest job. And once you get that going and flowing, then anything can happen. It gives me a lot of passion and purpose. Yeah. And when you get a little older, there's nothing better than passion and purpose.
Well, thank you, Barb.
You enjoyed your trip here then?
Oh, I loved it. I definitely coming back, and I'm just
good.
I just loved it. I loved healthy
yeah.
people, the bike shop. I rented at Red Raven, and they, of course, outfitted me perfectly. And it was just so, they were so professional, so friendly, and everything was so accessible. It was just awesome. And I'll definitely go back.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, when you come back into town, give me another call, and we'll take a ride around.
That is Barb Grove. She is known to many around the Crosby area as Mama Cuyuna. She's been passionate about the beauty and opportunity in the Crosby area, and she, along with many others, made it their mission to repurpose the Crosby area after the mining industry left town, and they turned it into a recreational destination.
Your story, roll the truth around your head, bound for glory. I ain't getting out of this bed. The sun comes struggling on yesterday. Coming to
That was the Tedeschi Trucks Band and their song, Bound for Glory. I am Katie Carter, and I've been your host today for Let's Visit. Let's Visit is KAXE KBXE's newest venture, where we will be visiting the communities and regions in northern Minnesota and reporting back to you, our listeners. Thank you for coming along with me to Crosby today. I look forward to taking you somewhere else next month. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. If you love programming like this and the music that you hear here on Northern Community Radio, become a contributing member. Go to kaxe.org, make a contribution.